Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In this letter, Paul is preparing the church for a visit. He's trying to get the believers ready for him to come and see them. And we saw in the last two chapters that he was giving special attention to the fact that they needed to have the collection for the poor ready so that they wouldn't be scrambling to do that after he got there. And so he was sending an advanced team to gather that offering together. And he was explaining to them that his reason for doing so was not just to be sure that the funds came in, but to be sure that the church would not be embarrassed if they were unprepared, because they had made a commitment to do something. They'd made a pledge. They'd said, we're gonna be right there. We're going to give generously. And it would be bad if they didn't follow through. That's an important lesson for all of us, isn't it? It's not enough to say what you're going to do. It's important to do what you say. But having dealt with them with regards to the preparation for this gift, there are other things that need to be in place. And Paul's going to spend the rest of this letter, chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13, dealing with preparation for his visit. And whereas I did take chapters 8 and 9 together last time, I'm not going to take chapters 10 through 13 this morning and preach all of that as one unit. But I want you to understand, and I want you to read it yourselves and see that that is one unit within this one letter, which was originally intended to be read straight through. Okay, don't forget that, because you'll miss a lot of what is intended if you just get a bite here and a bite there every week or two. Okay? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is God's word. "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be toward some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters, for some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but We'll confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel to the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory. But let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one the Lord commends. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The Apostle Paul is trying to help these folks get ready for his visit. And you see in this his love for them and his love manifested in his authority as an apostle in dealing with them. He doesn't soft pedal that, but he does repeatedly, and you won't understand what he's saying unless you understand this about Paul and the way that he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You see repeatedly in this his sense of humor. He says things that are gentle sarcasm, and I'll give you the most obvious example, is verse 6. We will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. Do you see what he's doing there? That's like when you call upstairs and say, don't make me come up there. Okay? It's not just that you don't want to climb stairs. It's that you don't want to have to punish them. You want them just to straighten up and start doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they already know they're supposed to be doing. I mean, we've all been there with our kids. It's like, guys, come on. You know better than this. And Paul is saying to these folks, I want you to know we're going to be ready to come in there and punish anyone who's being disobedient as soon as no one's being disobedient. That's what he says. It's intended to be humorous. Otherwise you'd have to think he's just psychotic or something. But he's not. This is fatherly humor for these saints whom he loves. And so as you read this, keep in mind that that is the tenor of Paul's writing, that is the intention. He loves these people. But that doesn't mean that he's going to just accept any kind of conduct on their part. Because he loves them, he's calling them to do what is right, just as a father loves his children and therefore disciplines them. We don't discipline our kids because we don't love them. We discipline our kids because we do love them, right? So, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. Now, this is a little embarrassing because what this is revealing is that he's heard some of the stuff they've been saying behind his back. Word has gotten to him that some of the people say, you know, his letters are very forceful, but in person, it's very unimpressive. Now, if you've ever found out something that was being said about you, what would be a good response? Well, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul confronts the matter, okay? He's not being petty here. He's not being carnally defensive. He has a role to play, and it's important that these folks respect his authority as an apostle for their sake, not for his. This is a guy who was willing to die for the faith. So it wasn't that he was trying to defend his reputation for his sake. He was trying to defend his reputation and his position and his authority for their sake, because it was very important that they take seriously the messages that God gave him for them. So, Paul says, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Do you get what he just did? He said, I don't want to have to be bold, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to deal with some things when I get there. Please prove me wrong. I'm coming. Are you ready? Because when I come, if there are still these rebellious, sinful things happening, I'm going to deal with it. And it won't be fun. And I won't enjoy it either. Again, it's not unlike a parent saying, please don't make me spank you. I don't want to punish you, but I cannot tolerate your behavior when you act like this. And so that's what Paul's saying to these folks whom he loves. He says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. Do you ever feel like the world is just in a mess? Do you ever feel like, you know, where have our standards gone? Why are people acting this way? Don't folks understand the difference between right and wrong? It's not a new problem. This isn't something that just happened in recent decades. This is the story of mankind. All of us share the ancestry that goes back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were our first parents. They had two sons. One killed the other. I think that qualifies as a dysfunctional family, right? Society has always been a mess. Jesus said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people even find it. So Paul here tells these folks, you need to understand that we do not live by the standards of this world. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be out of step with the norm in society. If you're looking around to see what everybody else is doing and you're going to try and follow suit, you're on your way to hell. That's not the path of life. Nobody comes except through Jesus. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Please understand, we are living in a battle zone. If you want to understand what's going on in this world without reference to spiritual warfare, you are never going to understand what's going on. There is a war on. And unless you put on the full armor of Christ, and unless you step out in obedience to Him, you are going to be a prisoner of war. Okay? You will be taken captive by the forces that are out to destroy you. Please understand that. And so Paul says, we don't live by the world's standards and we don't fight the way the world fights. We have weapons that have divine power. But it's not to punch people in the nose. It's not to lop off people's heads. It is to demolish arguments. It is where the battle really is, and that is in the hearts and minds of people. It is imperative that we understand our enemy is not flesh and blood, Ephesians 6. We're making war against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that kind of warfare has to be fought with spiritual weapons. We have to have the truth in order to stand against the lies that dominate this age. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Did you know that the enemy will try and mess you up through your mind, through your thoughts. The hardest person for me to say no to is not my wife, it's me. Very, very hard for me to say no to me. And the enemy knows that, and so when he comes to tempt me, he doesn't sound like my wife. He doesn't sound like somebody else out there. He sounds like me. And he says things like, that looks good. And I think, that looks good. And he says, I deserve that. And I think, I deserve that. Can anybody relate to this? Do you ever get tempted and then afterwards you think, why did I do that? That was stupid. I didn't even want that. So what do we do? How do we deal with it? We have to learn to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. When those thoughts come, we have to stop and say, is this from the Lord? Is this going to please Him? Or am I just living to please myself?
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And he's holding. And then he says, what we already looked at. We'll be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. That's a loving, loving Father. Then he says, verse 7 following, you're looking only on the surface of things. Even if I, verse 8, even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I'll not be ashamed of it. What is he saying? He says the purpose of this apostolic authority is not to exalt ourselves, it's to build you up. We're trying to help you to do better. We're trying to help you be what God intends you to be. The purpose of our apostolic authority is not to tear you down. Even when we correct you, the purpose is to build you up. He says, verse 9, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Can you imagine saying that about the Apostle Paul? Now listen to this, verse 11. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we're absent, we will be in our actions when we're present. Is that an empty boast? Not at all. Did Paul sometimes demonstrate apostolic authority in ways that had immediate and dramatic effects? Yes. For example, in Acts 13, there was a guy named Elymas. He was a false prophet, a Jewish man, who had impressed many people. And he set out to oppose the Apostle Paul as Paul was trying to bring the gospel. And Paul, tired of it. Look at Acts 13 real quickly. Verse 6 and following. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos, where they met. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now, the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, He believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. That's called apostolic authority. That was Paul, not in the flesh, but filled with the Holy Spirit. He did what God told him to do. He said what God told him to say. And the result was very, very dramatic. Now, Paul often was used by God to bring healing to people. But in this case, he struck a man blind, not with his fist, but with the word of God. And Paul says to these folks, listen, you think I'm not impressive in person? I'm prepared to deal with whatever is going on. Please get ready for my visit. If you knew he was going to be the speaker next week. I remember years ago I was in California and there was a guy who was being used by the Lord in a remarkable way that included what the Bible refers to as word of knowledge. God, on occasion, would show him something about somebody in such a way that on some occasions he would call people out. And so, for example, in one of the church services, he looked at a perfect stranger and said, God saw when you stopped at that convenience store on the way home. And he saw that magazine that you bought and the fact that you sneaked it into the house when you got home and put it in the third drawer of your dresser on the left-hand side. Well, let me just tell you, the man didn't say, I did not. He was like, oh, God, forgive me. And, of course, the other people who were in the church and knew that man were very surprised. But they were also now suddenly concerned about any unconfessed sin in their life. Wouldn't you be? Okay, it's like, oh, Lord, is there anything I had? Oh, is it? Well, Paul was not trying to tear these people down. He was trying to call them to holiness and build them up. But some of them were saying, oh, he's nothing. We're not worried. Yeah, he's coming, but so what? Paul says, look, I'm giving you a warning. I'm telling you ahead of time. If I have to deal with sin in your life when I get there, I'll deal with it. Please don't make me do that. So let me ask you another question. I said if Paul were coming next week, would you want to be sure he didn't have anything to call you out for? What if Jesus was coming today? Oh, well, he loves me. Yes, he does. He loves you so much he died for you. That doesn't mean that he doesn't call us to holiness. Look at verse 17. But let him who boasts boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You see, it's not what would these people think if they knew. It's not what would the Apostle Paul say if he came for a visit. It's what will we say when we stand before him, and what will he say when we stand before him. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But that means I've got to change. That means I've got to grow. That means I have to yield myself to him and die daily to myself in order to be what God wants me to be. I can't just live by the standards of this world. I can't just engage in spiritual battles as if they were video games. I have to get serious about the enemy and take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ and yield my life to him daily. That's what this is about. That's why this is important. Because when Jesus comes, we need to be ready.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.